إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، and we're still reading the chapter number 15 of Kitab al-Tawheed. Kitab al-Tawheed, لشيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. This chapter, the Shaykh didn't have a title for it. However, it's about a topic of importance for us to know, and that the created one could not be an object of worship, and that's in the light of the ayats that the Shaykh has mentioned. The ayat in Surah Al-A'raf 191 and 192, and the ayat in Surah 35, in the ayat 13 and 14, and also a hadith. The hadith that is in Sahih al-Bukhari, the hadith of, and Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Anas, radiyallahu anhu. And that hadith was about the what had happened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle of Uhud, and how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was struck on his head, and his front teeth were broken. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says that how could a people be successful after doing this to their Prophet? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. It is not for you, O Muhammad ﷺ, but it is for Allah only the decision who's going to be successful or not. We continue. قال الشيخ محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله وفيه أي في الصحيح في صحيح البخاري عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا رفع رأسه من الركوع في الركعة الأخيرة من الفجر اللهم لعن فلانا وفلانا بعدما يقول سمع الله لمن حمده ربنا ولك الحمد فأنزل الله ليس لك من الأمر شيء. وفي رواية يدعو على صفوان بن أمية وسهيل بن عمر والحارث بن هشام فنزلت ليس لك من الأمر شيء. This hadith is narration. He goes along with the previous one of the hadith of Anas on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, when he raised his head from ruku', from bowing, in the last rak'ah of the Fajr prayer. So ibn Umar, he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, after he raised his head, after he raised his head from bowing, ruku', in the last rak'ah of Salat al-Fajr, O Allah, curse so-and-so. Then Allah revealed, it is not for you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but for Allah is the decision. For Allah is the decision. In another narration, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invoked Allah against Safwan ibn Umayyah and Suhail ibn Amr and Al-Harith ibn Hisham. Then the verse was revealed also, the same verse. لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. It is not for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make the decision against these people. Whether they're going to be successful or they be cursed. But it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. As the ulama, and from them Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen and others, rahimahullah, Shaykh ibn Sa'di in his tafsir, they mention that the hidayah is two types. Guidance is two types. Hidayah to dilalati wal bayan. The guidance of dilala and bayan. To make the path clear. To call the people and invite them to the path of Allah. Based on knowledge. And the second type of guidance is hidayah to tawfiq. To be successful. And to act upon that. And that's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can make somebody successful. Nobody can bring somebody to Islam. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the proof is that some people on Uhud, those who fought the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not just fought, they rallied the people. Not just rallied the people, they were the leader. And Allah guided them to Islam. After years after that. And we say, radiyallahu anhum now. Even though what they did in Ghazwat Uhud, subhanAllah, man. They were the enemies of Allah, the enemies of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, enemies of Islam, fighting to destroy Islam. But now we say to those whom Allah guide them to Islam, and they died upon it, we say, radiyallahu anhum. Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan explained this narration. First of all, he says, Ibn Umar, he is Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhuma, sahabiyun jaleel. He is a noble companion, Abdullah, the son of Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, min ubadi sahaba wa ulamaihim. He was known to be from those who, the ubad, devoted to worship, and also from the scholars. He's considered from the scholars among the companions. مات سنة 73 للهجرة. He's from the متأخرين. He died in the year 73 of the Hijra. He's one of the companions who lived long after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He lived long. And so that's the like of him is Abdullah ibn Abbas as well. Anas, Abu Sa'id, Al-Khudri, amongst others, who they lived longer after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and people benefited greatly from them, like Aisha as well. And the people have benefited greatly from them. Sheikh, he says, يدعو على صفوان وكما في الحديث وسهيل ابن عمر والحارث ابن هشام. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was making dua against these people لأنهم رؤوس المشركين يوم أحد. Because these three people, they was from the leaders, the heads of the polytheists on Uhud. They weren't just soldiers, regular soldiers in that battle, but they was the heads, okay, on Uhud. وَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ فَأَسْلَمُوا. Look, where Allah has accepted their repentance and they became Muslims, all of them. وَحَسُنَ إِسْلَامُهُمْ. And they were good Muslims. Allahu Akbar. They were good Muslims. المعنى الإجمالي للحديث. Now the Shaykh give us the general meaning of this hadith. يخبر الله أو يخبر يخبر عبد الله يخبر عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعو في الصلاة على أشخاص معينين من الكفار آذوه يوم أحد فعاتبه الله بقوله ليس لك من الأمر شيء وتاب الله عليهم ف فآمنوا بالله ورسوله. In this hadith that is in Sahih al-Bukhari, hadith number 4069 and also 4070, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma informing us that he has heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invoking Allah, making dua in the salat against specific people. He mentioned them by their names, from the kuffar, from the disbelievers who have harmed him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle of Uhud, on the day of Uhud. But Allah admonished him in a gentle way, telling him, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. The decision is not yours. The decision is not yours, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Surah Ali Imran. And Allah guided them to Islam. The same people who have harmed the Prophet ﷺ and rallied the people against him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide their hearts and accept their repentance. So they believed in Allah and in His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They believed in Allah and they believed in His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مناسبة الحديث للباب شيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه تعالى. He will bring us the reason why شيخ محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى chose and selected this hadith as a proof in this chapter. Because it's very important to know the istidlal. It's very important to know why the ulama choose these narrations. They don't randomly go and pick up any narration. قال أن فيه بيان أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يقدر أن يدفع أذى المشركين عن نفسه ولا عن أصحابه بل لجأ إلى ربه القادر المالك مما يدل على بطلان ما يعتقده عباد القبور في الأولياء والصالحين. Why the Shaykh mentioned this? And remember that this chapter is about what once again? Who can remind us? Somebody else? Who can remind us what this chapter is about? لا, the chapter, not the hadith. The whole chapter. نعم. أي نعم. That the creator being cannot be taken an object of worship. Those who was with us in the previous classes, you will remember that because the creator, the one who is supposed to be worshipped, has qualities. And those that the people they worship beside Allah do not possess any of the qualities of the creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here is one of them now. Shaykh is going to mention, he says, in this hadith was selected by Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, rahimahu wa ta'ala, in this chapter, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unable to protect himself and to repel the harm of the mushrikeen. Now the Prophet ﷺ was unable to repel the harm, whether from himself or from or of a way of his companions. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ, he turns to his Lord, the Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What this tells us, this is a proof that whatever belief that certain people have in some righteous people who are dead in their graves and they call them besides Allah, that's futile, that belief they have. And these are Ubbad al-Qubur. These are the grave worshippers. They go to the graves of so-and-so And they call that grave, oh, so-and-so, help me out. Some of them, they don't even have to go to the grave. Whenever they are, if they're going through some hardship, instead to say, Ya Allah, say, Ya Jailani. Because there is this man. He was a righteous man. He is in Egypt or Iraq. I'm not sure right now. And people, they be in Africa, Asia, America, Europe, whatever. Some of them, they may be making tawaf. Look at the jahl. Making tawaf in Hajj. And somebody pushes, oh, Jailani. He's right there. So Allah, salamu al-afiyah. But rather we turn to Allah. Some people say, Ya Hussein, the Shia. Oh, Hussein. Hussein, you call upon Hussein. Shirk, dua is Allah. You call upon Allah alone. And then there is a lot of, almost every country, except those areas where Allah, you know, has exempted and has protected from this shirk. Almost every country, Muslim country, when you go to some areas, they have their own people that they call upon. Oh, Jailani, even women, oh, Zainab. There is in Egypt this lady called Sit Zainab. They respect her. They call upon her besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, you're sick, go to Sit Zainab. A lady died. Go to her. She's not a doctor or something. She's going to put a scanner on him or something. No, she's a dead lady, and they go to her grave. Some, they don't even have to go to the grave. They just, whatever they are. Now, these people, subhanAllah, they believe in these things. They're strong. So much so that, maybe I shared this story with you before, that this man who believed in one of these guys, they respect them more than they respect Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they're afraid of them more than they're afraid of Allah. One person, he stole something and he was standing in front of the judge. And the judge told him, you took this man's property? No. Swear by Allah. Wallahi, he swear by Allah all day. Wallahi, I didn't do it. Wallahi, he didn't do it. One person in the audience, he knows that man, he's a mushrik. He believes in some grave. So he said to the judge, can I say something? Said, judge, come here. Said, this man, he has this guy who he worshiped, this Sayyid, this Sheikh, whatever, in this grave. Ask him to swear by him. Huh? So he said to him, come here. He says, you know so-and-so? Oh, yeah, I know. Swear by him that you didn't steal. No, I can't swear by him. No, I stole. I have it. See? He swear by Allah, he didn't do it. Swear by this man. No, he couldn't. He was afraid that something may happen to him. But by Allah, no problem. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. ما يستفاد من الحديث. Some of the benefits from this hadith. Number one, بطلان التعلق بالأولياء والصالحين لطلب قضاء الحاجات وتفريج الكربات. Attaching oneself and one's heart to the أولياء, the righteous. Even if a person is a righteous person. Hussein was a righteous person. Just because the Shia and those ignorant Muslims who follow their path, they call upon Hussein and worship Hussein, doesn't make Hussein a bad person. Hussein radiallahu anhu is the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We say radiallahu anhu, he is free from the ignorance and the shirk and the dalalat of the Shia and whoever follow them upon that. Okay? Likewise, there is other righteous people. They were righteous when they were alive. But that gave them no right just because they were righteous people, worship them and go to their graves and make salat for them and invoke them and seek refuge with them and la. So some of these people who are dead and they've been called besides Allah and worship beside Allah, they free from the action of these ignorant people and these mushrikeen, Ubad al-Qubur. So this, I want to say this because I don't want you, whenever you hear a sheikh that they worship him, you think that sheikh was a big Sufi, a big Mubtadiyah. No, some of them are righteous people. Some people they call upon the Prophet ﷺ. They seek refuge with the Prophet ﷺ. And still that's not permissible. Alright? seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You call upon Allah, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for asking the human being, then as Shaykh ibn al-Uthaymeen tells us, and we learn in the Thalathat al-Usul, the book of Thalathat al-Usul, it's permissible to ask somebody from the human being for help, but with conditions. He has to be what? Alive and what? Able to help you. Number three, present. Yeah, of course, somebody in China, oh, give me a hand. Give what hand? His hand ain't long enough. So he has to be present, and he has to be alive, and he has to be able. And we can add another condition. He may not. Subhanallah. Even if he's present, able, alive, and he says, man, I got no time for you. So why you keep turning to people that turn you down? Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the merciful. Merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you. Now, number two, jawaz al-du'a al-mushrikeen fi salat. It's permissible to make du'a against the polytheists while you're making the salat. It's permissible. Number three, dalil ala أن تسمية الشخص المدعو له أو عليه لا يضر الصلاة. That also this hadith the Sheikh Fawzan says is a proof that even naming a person that a person may make dua against is does not harm the prayer. Does not harm the prayer. Number four, التصريح بأن الإمام يجمع بين التسميع والتحميد. And also this hadith there is a benefit of fiqh benefits. There is a fiqh benefit, as related to the fiqh, that this hadith, we benefit from it, that appeared the imam who lead the salat, he say both, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ and رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. The imam says both, when he raise his head from the ruku', say, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. Shaykh al-Albani, رحمه الله تعالى, he says that the imam say Sami'a Allahu liman hamidah while raising his head from ruku'. Sami'a Allahu liman hamidah. And then once he's, sitting or standing in the upright position, now he says Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Rabbana wa lakal hamd. The other hadith and the last hadith in this chapter, قال وفيه أي في صحيح البخاري عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين أنزل الله عليه وأنذر عشيرتك الأقربين في سورة الشعراء فقال يا معشر قريش أو كلمة نحوها اشتروا أنفسكم لا أغني عنكم من الله شيئا يا عباس بن عبد المطلب يعني عمه لا أغني عنك من الله شيئا يا صفية عمة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا أغني عنك من الله شيئا ويا فاطمة بنت محمد سليني من مالي ما شئت لا أغني عنك من الله شيئا. This last narration that the Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى mentioned as a proof in this chapter, Naim and Nuruddin.
There's four benefits from the last one, that's it?
That's it, it's the last one. Yeah, four benefits. On the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه in Sahih al-Bukhari, hadith number 2753, and also this hadith is in Sahih Muslim as well, hadith number 206. That Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up when it was revealed to him and warned your tribe, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of near kindred. The verse 214 in Surah Ash-Shu'ara, chapter 26. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O people of Quraysh, or the narrator says, or words similar to that, sell your own souls. I will not be of any help to you before Allah. O Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, that's his uncle, I will not be of any help to you before Allah. O Safiya, aunt of the Messenger of Allah, that's his aunt. Ummu Zubair, that's his aunt. Prophet ﷺ, he said to her, I will not be of any help to you before Allah. O Fatima, that's his daughter, and he mentioned, he said, O Fatima, daughter of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask of my wealth what you wish. I will be of no avail and benefit to you before Allah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. When he said, sell your own selves, meaning free yourselves from the punishment of the hellfire, as Sheikh Fawzan says. And what, by doing what? Not by buying, putting your money together, your property, no, by tawheed, by establishing the tawheed, the Islamic monotheism, by being upon tawheed, by worshipping Allah alone, and by being obedient to Allah and to His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Shaykh says, don't depend on your lineage. That's because you're my aunt, you got a pass to the Jannah. It doesn't work like that. Just because you're my uncle, you got a pass to the Jannah. Doesn't work like that. Just because you're my daughter, you got a pass to the Jannah. Doesn't work like that. But unfortunately, some ignorant Muslims, who some Sufis get them down packed, they told them, look, as long as you believe in me and follow me, I got you in the Jannah. That's what they tell them, like a Tijani. Like this group Tijaniyin Sufia, they are everywhere, but mainly in Africa, especially in West Africa. This guy Tijani, he was an ignorant Sufi, mushrik. And he tell the people that he guarantees the Jannah for his followers. And that his followers will enter the Jannah even before the prophets. How ignorant can a person be to really believe this man and follow him? And upon shirk. And here is the Prophet the best of mankind. The Jannah will not open to anyone before him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's saying to his tribe, Quraysh, that he grow amongst them. Listen, man, you think because just because of your lineage, you go back to me, or your lineage go back to Ibrahim, because some of their lineage go back to Ibrahim, alayhi salam. Alright? That doesn't help you on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he even narrows that. He turns to his immediate family members. Abbas, his uncle. Can do nothing for you, man. You gotta do it for yourself. In here. Tawheed and obedience to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the same thing we learn from this, you gotta tell this to your children, to your wives, and listen. Because you memorize Quran, you're righteous, you're Salafi, alhamdulillah, you come for Fajr, Salawat, you do good, doesn't mean just because of that your children, they still run in the streets on crack or whatever it is, they don't pray, listen to music, they want to be like Kobe and Jay-Z and all of them, you think, just because you're a righteous man, they're going to be with you. You know, you think, this is not a trip to Orlando, you know what I'm saying? You're going to put your kids in the same van. No, you can't do that in this dunya. You're righteous, but you're going somewhere, you put your whole family in a van, and they're with you, they're locked in. Man, everybody going in a grave by himself, you know that. So you got to do something about it in this life. Prophet ﷺ, he was telling them, لَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ يعني لَا أَدْفَعُ عَنْكُمْ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ. I mean, he was telling, Sheikh Fawzan was telling them, I would not stop the punishment of Allah if you're subjected to it on Yawm al-Qiyamah. I can't. And the Prophet said this, to cut the door and the paths to anyone who say, oh no, his family members, they're going to go in Jannah. Yeah, they go, inshallah, if they follow the same way everybody follow. Tawheed of Allah and obedience of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sheikh also, he says, when the Prophet ﷺ said to his own daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, Salini min mali mashiti, ask me my wealth, whatever you wish. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, he says, because that's what the Prophet ﷺ is able. Yeah, he's able to do that. Yes, he can give his wealth. But as for her getting to the Jannah, That's not his. That's not in his hand. His wealth is in his hand. He can give her what he wants and what she wants. But as for her getting to the Jannah and saved from the punishment of Allah, that's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. المعنى الإجمالي للحديث. The general explanation and meaning of this hadith. يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله يخبر أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه عما صنع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين أمره الله في كتابه الكريم أن ينذر قرابته أنه قام ممتثلا أمر ربه. In this hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and his name, Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhar, is Dawsi, from Dawsi, from the tribe of Dawsi. من فضلاء الصحابة وحفاظهم وعلمائهم. He's from the noble among the Sahaba, and the notables among the companions, memorized the most hadith. And he is considered from the ulama, the scholars of the companions. روى أكثر من 5,000 حديث. He has narrated more than 5,000 حديث. توفي سنة 57 أو 59 للهجرة. There is a slight difference of opinions as related to the exact year he died. Some say 57, some say 58, some say 59 of the هجرة. Some say 59 of the هجرة. And when the Prophet ﷺ stood up, Shaykh Fawzan, he says, "Sa'ada ala Safa." The Prophet ﷺ, he climbed the Mount of Safa. When you go make Hajj, and you make Umrah or Hajj, then you have to make a part of the things you do in Umrah and or Hajj is Tawaf and Sa'i. You make Tawaf around the Kaaba 7 times, and then after that, you go to make sa'i. Of course, between them you pray 2 rak'at and drink some zamzam water, but you go to the sa'i between Safa and Marwa, 2 little mountains. Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ, he stood up on that. The ulama, they says, because when you get on a higher place, there is benefits. People can see you, and also your voice carries out better. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu informing us of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was commanded by Allah in the Book of Allah to warn his family members, the closest people to him, and that irhamukallah, and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he obeyed the command of Allah, and he stood up. فنادى قريش ببطونها. So he called Quraysh with their names, with their tribes. وَنَادَ عَمَّهُ وَعَمَّتَهُ وَبِنْتَهُ. Also he called out the name, he called out his uncle, Al-Abbas, his aunt, Safiya, his daughter, Fatima, radiallahu anhum. فَأَنذَرَهُمْ نَذَارَةً خَاسَّةً وَأَمَرَهُمْ أَنْ يُخَلِّصُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ بِتَوْحِيدِهِ وَطَاعَتِهِ. Even though they are from Quraysh too, they were included in the first call of Quraysh, but he addressed them specially because they are his family, immediate family. And we learn from this, yes, you may give advice to other people, but still, even your people, they are amongst your family, amongst those that you will give an advice to, you still have to specify your own family because of the importance. So he specified his immediate family, his uncle, his aunt, and his daughter. And he commanded them to free themselves from the punishment of Allah by Tawheed. Not by just, look, I am the daughter of the Messenger of Allah, I got to be with him. No, doesn't work like that. I gotta be in the Jannah because I am this or that. No. This is not how we work. Okay? He commanded them to free themselves from the punishment of Allah by what? By Tawheed. By worshipping Him alone. And by obeying him سبحانه وتعالى وبلغهم أنه لا يدفع عنهم من عذاب الله شيئا إذا لم يؤمنوا. And also he made it clear to them that the Prophet ﷺ would not be able to repel the harm of Allah away from them if they don't believe. If they don't believe. فَمُجَرَّدُ قُرْبِهِمْ مِنْهُ غَيْرُ نَافِعٍ لَهُمْ بِدُنْ إِيمَانٍ. And just because they are close to the Messenger of Allah, just because they are his family, won't be no benefit for them without iman, without belief. Just because they are the family of the Messenger of Allah will be no benefit for them. And once again, this is a clear proof against some people who they believe in some people, you know. And it's like, as long as you believe in that person in the grave, you're straight. You're in the Jannah. It doesn't work like that. مناسبة الحديث للباب. Now once again, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, حفظه الله تعالى, he tells us the relevance of this hadith to the chapter, to this chapter. Why Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, رحمه الله تعالى, has chosen this hadith from the proofs of this chapter. قال أن فيه أنه لا يجوز أن يطلب من الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا من غيره من باب أولى إلا ما يقدر عليه من أمور الدنيا. He chose this narration because in it the following that is not permissible, period, to ask the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And yet, asking other than him, subhanAllah, min babin awla, is more so those who are lesser than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not permissible to ask them anything more that they can, you know, help you with from the affairs of this dunya. Anything they cannot do from the affairs of this dunya, it's not permissible to ask them anything else. وَأَمَّا مَا لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَلَا يَجُوزُ أَنْ يُطْلَبَ إِلَّا مِنَ اللَّهِ. But as for the matters and the affairs that should be sought only from Allah, it is not permissible to ask anyone else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَفِيهِ الرَّدُّ عَلَى عُبَّادِ الْقُبُورِ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَغِيثُونَ بِالْأَمْوَاتِ لِتَفْرِيجِ الْكُرُوبَاتِ وَقَضَاءِ الْحَاجَاتِ. So this hadith is a clear proof against the grave worshippers. Those who turn to the graves, to the dead people in their graves, seek refuge with them to repel away the harm from them and to bring benefits to them. Yes, people go to a grave, oh, help me out, oh, give me. Those who want children, they go to the grave and ask the grave, the person, oh, give me some children. They go, people are sick. Instead to go to the doctor, or maybe they went to the doctor, and then they go to the grave, oh, help me, cure me, he's dead, you're still alive. That person need you to make dua for him or for her. Oh Allah, have mercy on them. He's dead. A dead person give you health? SubhanAllah. La hawla wa la quwwata. So when you hear things like this, that people doing this, the first thing that should come to your mind is to thank Allah and praise Him for guidance. That you're not doing what they're doing. You thank Allah and praise Him. You don't just laugh at them and stuff. You thank Allah. You praise Allah. And you say, Alhamdulillah, الذي عافاني مما ابتلاهم به وفضلني على كثير من خلق تفضيلا. All praise are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has saved me from that which he has afflicted them with and favored me above many of his creation. Now, same thing you say that when you see a mubtadi', an innovator. You thank Allah that you are not one of them. You see Hizbi upon Hizbiya. You thank Allah and praise Him that He has saved you from that path. And you see someone who's inflicted also from the affairs of the dunya, going through hardship, is very sick, and you ask Allah. You see people in the streets, sleeping in there, and you thank Allah. And you be grateful to Allah. You think just because your bed is 3 years old, that's it, man, you're this, I got another bed. No, people sleep on the sidewalk. They would love to have a bed of 30 years old, not just three years old. And when your wife puts something on the table, say Bismillah and thank Allah. Other people don't have nothing. They go in the trash to see if there is somebody miss a bite or something or some slice of pizza missing. Or by mistake, people throw it in the box. They be digging through the trash to eat. Now you want to make a big fit and fight. Because there is not enough barbecue sauce on your ribs. You know, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thank Allah and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ما يستفاد من الحديث. We conclude this class of today. Number one, from the benefits of this hadith, الرد على عباد الأنبياء والصالحين الذين يتعلقون بالمخلوقين في قضاء حوائجهم التي لا يقدر عليها إلا الله. This hadith is refutation and refute those who worship the prophets and the righteous people. How they worship them? By attaching their hearts to them. They turn to them instead to turn to Allah. And asking prophets, asking righteous people to help them, to grant them benefits or in things that only Allah is able to do. That's how they worship them, because they ask them things that only Allah able to do. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that which only Allah able to do, you should ask only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask only Allah those things, not somebody else. There is no wasita between the people and Allah. There is no intermediaries as some mushriks. They take these people as a wasita. Some they go to them directly, they think they have the power. Some they says, no, we know they don't have no power. We know Allah alone gives children. We know Allah alone cures. We know. So why are you calling them wasita? They better than us. They say, see what they say? Shaitan get them in different levels. Shaitan have different levels. He have a plan for everybody. You think they work only in cell phones? No, man, Shaitan has plans. If people, they know, I'm not calling him. No, he's a dead man. Call Allah. Allah is the one who, but why you can do it in here? Intermediary, he's wasit. He's better than me. He's a righteous man. Nah. Islam, with no wasit between you and between Allah. You ask Allah directly. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have to go to someone and say, listen, I want Allah to give me, but you know, He has to come through you, brother, imam, brother, so and so. No, doesn't work like that. You have to be a mukhlis. Have sincerity, sidq, truthfulness. Be sadiq. Have truthfulness. Be righteous. Be upon tawheed. Have the correct aqidah. Do good. Shall stay away from evil. And ask Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees that He will answer this supplication. So why you need somebody else when you have a guarantee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Number two, أنه لا يجوز أن يطلب من العبد إلا ما يقدر عليه. It's not permissible to ask the servants anything except for that which they are able to help you with. So it's not permissible to ask anyone from the servants of Allah matters except that which they are able. It's very important. Number three, Musara'atu an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ila imtithali amri rabbihi wa tablighi risalatihi. Immediately the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed the command, acted upon the commands of Allah and conveyed it to the people. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, وَأَنذِرْ, warn your family, closest people to you, the Prophet immediately did that. So we learn from this, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from such people that we should act upon the commands of Allah and the commands of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when immediately when we heard them. Many the commands of Allah, commands of Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we hear them day in, day out, ya akhwan, jumu'ah, we read them in books. Some of them we even remind other people with them, and then we fail to act upon them. May Allah have mercy on us. Number four, أَنَّهُ لَا يُنَجِّي مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْإِيمَانُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ لَلْإِعْتِمَادُ عَلَى مُجَرَدِ الْإِنْتِسَابِ لِلْأَشْخَاصِ. Nothing saves a person from the punishment of Allah except faith and righteous actions. That's why Allah says in Surah Al-Asr, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Look, one ayah. In Surah Al-Asr, all mankind are in a state of loss. Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, except who? Those who believe and do righteous actions. Shaykh Salih al-Fawzani says, nothing saves a person from the punishment of Allah except belief, iman, and righteous actions. Not hoping and leaning that your family members, your lineage will help you. No, it ain't gonna help. It's not gonna help. Number five, أن أولى الناس برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أهل طاعته ومتابعته من قرابته وغيرهم. That the closest people to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that will be to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم on يوم القيامة, and those who truly followed him in truth, who are they? They are those, his true family members who follow him as from this ummah, are those who obey him and follow him, whether they be his family members or not. These are the real followers of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who will be with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are those who actually obeyed him and followed him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number six, أن مجرد القرابة من الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ينفع بدون إيمان وعمل صالح وعقيدة صحيحة. Once again, the Shaykh, he mentioned again this important point, that just being a close family member to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, that by itself does not benefit that person without iman and righteous actions and without correct عقيدة. Person who is not upon correct aqeedah, no iman, no righteous actions, even if his lineage go back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there will not be no benefit for that person, unless that person believe in Allah, believe in the Messenger of Allah, believe in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obey Allah, obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and act upon the risala, the message of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being upon correct aqeedah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid us and help us to learn this deen correctly upon the way of as-salaf as-salih. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm upon it. Us and our family members, our children and the like. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the correct understandings of the Quran and the Sunnah. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.